The enemy knows he cannot get me to deny the existence of God. I'm too far in. That one's not going to work. But what does work at times is when I find myself thinking about a problem without the hope of a redemptive solution. Wisdom enables a person to rise against an insurmountable object and pull down strongholds in which they trust. So that gives us a second clue. Strongholds are whatever people trust in other than God. Yeah. It's always been a trust issue. Everywhere you go throughout Scripture, there is a target of the Lord. And in fact, I made a statement this week to some of our team that I'll make with you. Take whatever you know about trust, amplify it by about 1,000, and that's how much it's on the heart of God. It is central to our relationship with God. The Scripture says that without faith, it is impossible to please Him. It doesn't say without worship. It doesn't say without prayer. It doesn't say without fasting. It doesn't describe any of the other essential parts of our walk with the Lord. It doesn't say without Bible reading, as critical as that is. It says without faith. Why? Because the element of trust is the focus of the Lord. Why? Because He is the most trustworthy individual in the universe. And it is a violation of creation to not trust the one who is worthy of trust. It is a debt that I owe Him. I am indebted to Him to reflect His faithfulness through my trust. When you look at, there's a great warning passage. I love the Scripture. I like the warning passages in Scripture because they help to clean me. They're important because they purge and clean. And it's in Mark chapter 10 where the Lord says, it is impossible for a wealthy man to get into or it's very hard for a wealthy man to get into the kingdom of heaven. And the disciples are stunned by His statement because they considered themselves blessed. So they're stunned by the statement. It says, they wondered then, who can make it? So Jesus adds a word to give definition to the statement He just made. He said, it is very hard for a man who trusts in riches to make it into the kingdom. The element, the issue is trust. I've asked you the question before. There are different political groups and parties and movements in the earth that are trying to define how much money a person should make or should have. I'll leave the subject alone because it makes me irate, but let me just say, let me give you a kingdom answer instead of a bill answer, which is always better anyway. How much money is too much money? There's not an amount. It's whatever amount replaces trust. Trust is always the issue, always the issue. To the rich young ruler, he had to sell everything to follow Jesus. But Mary, Martha, and Lazarus were very wealthy. They did not have to. Why? Because their heart issue was somewhere else. Jesus always deals with heart because heart is where trust comes from. The heart is where trust comes from. Trust, faith does not come from the mind. It doesn't say with the mind man believes unto righteousness. It says with the heart. So God is always dealing with the heart because there must be the reunification of a people made in His image that reflect His faithfulness through faith, through trust. That complete cycle must be recreated in the earth. And so the Lord looks for those who believe, those who have faith, those who trust. Trust is the issue. So in Proverbs, we have this statement, a wise man scales the city and pulls down strongholds in which they trust. You look in any culture, you can go to any city in our nation or any nation, and through a short amount of time, you'd be able to study that city and find out what people trust in other than God. For some, it's abuse of alcohol or drugs or those kinds of things. That's where they trust. When they're in trouble, when they begin to panic, when they become fearful, they reach for whatever it might be. It has the place of God in their life. They may believe in the existence of God, but their lifestyle testifies they do not depend on God. It's a trust issue. And so you can study that city. It may be sports. It may be recreational activity. It could be any number of things. It can be many things that are wonderful blessings and additions to our life. But when that's what I turn to and that's what I trust, then it takes the place of my dependency on the Lord. So the Lord now is targeting this issue of stronghold. What is a stronghold? If you go back to medieval times and the walled cities or the castles, the place of these huge stones that are carved out stones that are put on top of each other. And what a stronghold is it's a hiding place, in this case, for the demonic. It's a hiding place that is created in a person's life through their thoughts. Second Corinthians 10. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and thoughts raised up against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity. Here's the deal. Thinking incorrectly not only empowers the enemy, it gives him a safe place to hide in our patterns of thought. Incorrect patterns of thought are dwelling places for the demonic. A bad thought is not a hiding place, but a lifestyle of a bad thought creates a hiding place. A stronghold is a place where they're not recognized. If you could imagine a royal family hiding in the castle, you can't see them behind the castle wall. They are hiding, they are safe. They can go out when they want to, at will. The demonic hides in the thought patterns and processes of people's lives when they are anchored, when those thoughts reflect the anchor of the soul that trusts in something else other than God. The weapons of our warfare are not human in origin. They are not skills. They are not talents. They are literally the weaponry of God himself to deal with the hiding place of the enemy in the thought processes of a person's life. What is it about those thoughts that gives the enemy a place to hide? These are things that are raised up against the knowledge of God, not the existence of God, the knowledge of God. The enemy knows he cannot get me to deny the existence of God. I'm too far in. I couldn't fall for that one. That's the devil wearing a red rubber suit carrying a pitchfork. He's really easy to spot. That one's not going to work. But what does work at times is when I find myself thinking about a problem without the hope of a redemptive solution. What idea am I thinking? I'm thinking something that wars against the knowledge of God. There's not a problem that I face that he not only doesn't have the answer for, he is prepared to release the solution. Does that make sense? So anytime I entertain, or perhaps it's a person, in fact, let me back up and say this. I've mentioned this a few times in this whatever strange season we are in. Fear will always attract whatever information is needed to legitimize its existence. Fear will always attract whatever information is needed to legitimize existence. Here's the crazy thing. So does jealousy and resentment. Jealousy and resentment also attract whatever information is necessary to legitimize, to validate the existence of jealousy and resentment. But also comes with it the ability or capacity, because we know so much spiritually, we give it a virtuous name. Wow. When you give a dysfunction a virtuous name, you not only give it permission to remain, you give it permission to set down roots until it begins to shape personality. This is where extreme tenderness to the Lord is vital the farther you go with God. The farther you go with God, the more you are capable of giving a virtuous name to a problem. Because you know more. Knowledge puffs up. Knowledge puffs up. Bible doesn't say carnal knowledge. It just says knowledge puffs up. So the answer isn't to ignore learning, knowledge, understanding, wisdom. the requirement of the Lord for us is that what we learn is to take us to the person, because it's in encountering the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, we don't walk away strutting about all the great things we're about to do with our life. There's something very significant that the Lord is wanting to work into the heart of the church right now. And I feel like there's so many things. I was torn in so many directions for this morning. First of all, just overjoyed, happy we'd be together. And I'm in a very good mood, even though I maybe you need think I need to read some more jokes. I'm not sure what the story is here. But I feel strongly that we are about to witness both the goodness, the kindness of the Lord, and the severity of the Lord. And this whole first love issue of absolute sensitivity to the work of the Holy Spirit is so central in my life, so central to who we are. And there's the reminder that it's the Lamb of God who sits on the throne for eternity. Why the Lamb? Why not the Lion? Because we will live with a continuous remembrance, not of our sin, but of our need for grace, our need for constant dependency on God. So throughout all eternity, 100 billion years from now, the Lamb will still be on the throne, and we will be celebrating the fact that we are saved, celebrating that we are new creation. We are absolutely new, and we continuously live in that overwhelming joy of having been redeemed. Back to the subject here at hand. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not natural. They are mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. What are the strongholds? They're the places of trust in us and or others. Casting down arguments. I'm glad there's none of that going on right now. Listen to me. Once you get the victory of pulling down strongholds here, you're positioned to pull it in culture. But you have to do it here first. What you win here positions you to influence there, because there is a demonic power behind so much, if I could say, all the lies that war against the knowledge of God. There's a demonic power. It's the fiery darts. It's the fiery darts of Scripture. When a person has dealt well with their own thought life and won the battle, so to speak, in an area, you become positioned to recognize it in others, but not to point it out. You know, it's not that. That's a prayer job. God, there seems to be in my neighborhood, there seems to be this bent. For example, I remember in a house we moved in Weaverville, as soon as we moved in, a lady across the street came over and she said, just to let you know, everybody on your side of the street gets a divorce when they move in here. Yeah, it's good to be in your neighborhood. Yeah, yeah. It wasn't that everybody, but it's this house, that house, that house. They move into this neighborhood, they move on that side of the street, they get divorced. I said, well, it stops here. This whatever power has been behind that, it doesn't have an ear here. It doesn't have a voice here. And so when you have personal victory in an area, it positions you not to point or yell at people or accuse or do any of that stuff. It's in prayer. We say, God, we ask right now that a spirit of revelation be released to counter that lie that our community or my neighborhood has actually believed in, that there is a solution by leaving our spouse. What do you think? Why do you think praise is a weapon of warfare? Praise is a weapon of war. I know for me, if there's a struggle in health, I'm going to exalt him for being the healer. What's happening? The battle is first here. And once I engage in praise with declaring who he is, the knowledge of God, casting down thoughts and ideas raised up against the knowledge of God, I deal with it first here, and then I become positioned to bring about transformation in the location where I live. I declare his greatness. There's presence and power that is exercised against the lies that have been raised up against the knowledge of God. The battle you win here positions you to win the same battle out here. This passage in Nahum is a personal favorite. Nahum chapter 1, verse 7. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knows those who trust in him. Look at it again. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble. He knows those who trust in him. I want you to make mental note once again that stronghold, this time, it's a stronghold of the revelation of the goodness of God. Another place in Scripture says that the name of the Lord is a hiding place. It's a tower of strength. It's where we hide ourselves. So if you can picture it this way, a people who understand, truly heartfelt understanding of the goodness of God, automatically have a hiding place, a stronghold in which they dwell. And it's evidenced by what we trust in when problems come up. It's very easy to think of an individual or a repeated problem with hopelessness and blame it on the lack of character in the individual. Which basically is declaring, Father, this one is out of your reach. What happens when I do that? And I have. What happens when I do that? I create a stronghold of thinking that removes me from being a part of a redemptive solution. Because I have categorized that individual, and in that particular place, I have fallen into a trap, believing things that are unredeemable. Nobody would ever say that because we know that God can do anything. But it's not your theology, it's your lifestyle. It's not your theology. Every believer says God can do anything, everything. And they've got a problem and they don't believe he'll fix it. So the theology is right, the lifestyle is wrong. The lifestyle is fueled by thought life. So the thought life is not just focused on finding the lie and removing it, because he says, take every thought to the obedience of Christ. A thought pattern is not transformed until I am seeing a situation through the eyes of Jesus, thinking the redemptive solutions that he's thinking. Until then, I'm still in that place of need. I'm not in the place of bringing change. The Lord is good. He is a stronghold. He knows those who trust him.